The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, former Mrs. United States and award-winning author Sherry Rose Shepherd shares openly about the devastating collapse of her family.
Honestly, when my daughter was like, God doesn't answer prayer, does he, Mommy? Mm-hmm. Our family's never coming back. And so I've always been on fire for God and never had, I've had my faith shaken, but I've never had my faith taken. My faith was taken. I really felt like God had forsaken me.
A powerful story of God's restoration. Next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Betty Robinson, and this is Jane.
And we've got one of the first guests we ever had on Life Today. Now, I've been on television for, goodness, more than 40 years. We started back in 1968. Some of you know the story. This is our 50th anniversary in ministry. But I've been on television more than 40 years because Billy Graham said he heard God tell him that I was supposed to be on television. And I said, well, Billy, you're on television. You be on all the time. He said, no, you need to be on all the time. I'll be on in the Crusades from time to time. But anyway, that's how it started. But when we went from the preaching in the Crusades ourselves on television, doing a weekly, we went to a daily, and God led us to do what we call Life Today. But we needed some really good guests. And we heard about Sherry Rose Shepherd. She was Mrs. United States. And sure enough, she was there. You can see her, we cut back. There she was, just such a beautiful, beautiful Mrs. United States. And what a wonderful guest. We had many guests like her. I guess that's the reason we lasted, and you. And praise God for the viewers. But we had to have good guests, and Sherry is back with us. Would you welcome Sherry Rose Shepherd back to Life Today? Sherry, good to see you. Now, you're still Mrs. United States, as far as I'm concerned.
17 years ago, I do age, so get over it, because I have. I'm not trying to... I'm 52 now. I'm a grandma. I've been married 25 years. It's been seven of the best years of my life. I'm happy, okay?
That's pretty good, That's pretty good.
And I'm not dying before this man. Yeah. And let any woman reap the benefits of my tears and training. That's for sure.
Okay. Well, you know, you wrote a book about some of this. It's called Your Heart's Desire. I think this is a fairly new book.
Yeah,
I think you have a teaching series along the line in DVD teaching and all of that. Let me just say right up front, so you might want to go ahead and write this down. You say, what if we wanted what Sherry's doing? Because when you hear her, you're going to say, well, the journey she's been on and she's on will be very helpful to us. Website, where would they go?
BibleLifeCoaching.com.
BibleLifeCoaching.com. And you have quite a bit of material there, which we may mention some of a little bit later, but Your Heart's Desire. Now, you are telling us, because this kind of got back to us, that here you are, a teacher, and doing all this stuff, you know, for the glory of God and helping people, and yet the wheels seem to start coming off in some different places. Cut to the chase and tell us some of the things that, you know, that have gone on.
Well, first of all, because I was a Christian, I thought I would be, and doing the Lord's work, I was positive I would be protected from anything ever coming against my marriage. And in 2007, I was on Focus on the Family. I was their number one show, and I was asked to write a book on raising up our sons to be godly husbands, preparing him for the other woman. And that book, right before I went to turn it in, I got scared that a demonic attack would come on me and my family because of going after the next generation boy. And so I wanted to change my mind, and the publisher said, if you're really afraid of the attack that will come on you, we'll release you of your contract. And my son was a senior in high school at the time, and I said, Jake, you've been a privilege to raise. You've made me look really good as a mom. Thanks for that. But you're moving out your senior year, you know, and it's over. And I need to know up front, when you move out, are you going to rebel against God before I release a book on raising sons? And
what a conversation.
Said, well, I was keeping it real.
Yeah, that's real.
There you go. No, Mom, I'm good. Just push send. Get the manuscript out there. So anyway, I pushed send, and we started doing together mother-son, mother-a-boys conferences, which I'm now doing again. God's resurrected those this year, but now I'm really scared. But in that, my husband had gotten a job that we had prayed for, and we had really good boundaries in our marriage, and this job broke all those boundaries. And within 3 or 4 months, we were separated. And my son got the news, and he walked away from the Lord. And at 18 and a half, after he moved out, started using drugs and alcohol, I had all these contracts with churches to do mother boys conferences. And I was in the public eye of ministry. I had a little girl. We have 11-year spread between our kids. God has a sense of humor. I got pregnant the night before my husband's surgery. Anyway, in that, my little girl and I ended up moving in with a friend, a Christian friend in ministry that was kind of taking care of us because I was emotionally pretty much out of it. And so I would go speak on the weekends. I kept asking these churches, please let me out of this. I really am not in a good place. He's strong in your weakness. Get on the plane. I'd cry the whole way, cry all the way back. And then one night, honestly, when my daughter was like, God doesn't answer prayer, does he, Mommy? Mm. Our family's never coming back. And where's our boys? And I, for the first time, I'm a born-again Jew. And so I've always been on fire for God and never had, I've had my faith shaken, but I've never had my faith taken. My faith was taken. I really felt like God had forsaken me. And because my parents have been married and divorced 3 times each, I'd already been a part of 5 blended families. I felt like I had done everything that God asked me to do out of obedience to him and took the kids to church and prayed and stayed faithful to my husband, you know, all those things. And so now I'm sitting here totally helpless and can't control my boys and in the public eye of ministry. And I really felt God had forsaken me. I was, and I had this moment where after I tucked my little boy, girl in bed and she fell asleep crying, I fell to my knees and I said, God, I've waited forever for a family. I've never had one before. And now this family is taken from me. And if you don't give me back my family, I don't want to be in the ministry anymore. I'm quitting. And I felt like the Lord said to me, was my death on a cross not enough for you to follow me? Are you really going to judge me by a man's actions? Mm. And in that moment, God showed me that I needed to lay my Isaacs down, that my family had become a god more than God, and that I needed to not let anybody, including my own husband, control my faith in God. And so I laid down my happily ever after and started to live for heavenly ever after and realized that I couldn't change anything but myself. And so I told my boys, I'm going to follow Christ, and if God continues to open up the door for me to speak at women's conferences, which he has, it's been 22 years of speaking at women's events, and I said, I'm going to move forward with God. Because I realized that at the end of my life, even if I didn't get my husband back, even if my son never returned to the Lord, I would be the great-great-great-grandmother that was remembered as a woman that loved and obeyed God in spite of everybody's actions. And I knew the only thing I could control was my own legacy of faith. And I just hung on that promise. Those who love and obey God will bless 1,000 generations. And it was painful, but in the moment that I laid down my white picket fence, God showed me the peace that passes understanding in a way that I've never understood before. And he became my husband. And after that, I ended up writing a book, His Princess Bride, for singles and widows and divorced. And it won the 2010 Book of the Year. Beth Moore won 2009. I won 2010, the same award. And so God used my pain to pour onto these pages. And now that I've celebrated 22 years of ministry, every weekend I'm out at a women's retreat or women's conference, and I have heard so much pain caused by men and women and divorce and just yuck. I couldn't take it anymore. So I took the book and took the 14 things that are destroying us. And so this book really is for the divorced, the single, the brokenhearted, and the hard, miserable marriage, you know, and that's really what I hit is all that. And once I told my family, my boys, what I was doing, a few months later, my son goes, if you're going to follow God without a single prayer answered, then so am I. Wow. And he went into full-time ministry at the Los Angeles Dream Center during that time.
Great.
And my husband started to date me again, and we started to repair our marriage. And we, like I said, just celebrated 25 years of marriage. And it's a hard marriage. The repair, when there's a lot of damage done, it's a daily laying down of your own hurts, a daily of laying down of forgiveness. There's salts that can hit in the wound that wake it up, you know. And so, but we're together for better or for worse till death do us part, or I kill him. But we're gonna.
Yeah, I like the way you go ahead and tell it like it is. I love it. I do. I love it, Sherry.
I have no censor.
That's an incredible story. Don't you thank God for where she is even at this point in her journey? Our journeys kind of track along together. I talked about you coming out when we first started, and you've continued to pray for us, and we have for you. And we've kept
when I first became a Christian, your crusade anchored my ministry.
Praise God.
And I know it was God
and through
you.
But I praise
the Lord.
Phoenix,
because,
Arizona.
Yeah.
It was there in that crusade.
I always say, if you've never been.
Billy Graham came to get me to go on television. So
So
all these things happened at the same time. But, interestingly, too, we're talking about our past. Well, what's your son's name?
His name is Jacob.
Jacob. And Jacob is with Dream Center. So when she says Dream Center, Los Angeles Dream Center, and I think about Matthew Barnett, and I think about me being out there with him before he just started, and somebody gets killed on the front of the church right there, you know? And Tommy Barnett was your pastor for a long time. And I look at this, and we look, that's you. That's all the people who love life. We helped the Dream Center get started. We helped them begin their feeding. We helped them refurbish the beautiful hospital to make it into a Dream Center to help the people downtrodden. And then now there's your son out there, and then he's come back. And
he's in Northern California, North Carolina, because he went on the road with me and went back in the ministry with me, and he met his wife, and this Southern girl stole my son.
Well, I'll wait. And followed your instructions about marriage and marrying a godly boy and the whole bit,
And I love her. I love my Southern daughter-in-law. She now works for our ministry,
And was she a North Carolina girl?
She's a North Carolina girl.
Great big old, people.
She's got a Southern little accent.
I had great crusades all over North Carolina. She probably got saved in one of them.
She probably did. I wouldn't doubt it.
You'll have to check it out. You need to ask her. She may have. But it is so wonderful to see where God's brought you with the pain. And you and your husband are doing good now.
We're doing a lot better. God's trusted me with pain. I used to feel sorry for myself because
now, I said husband and you said pain. I don't know how you're going to take that. I don't know. I don't think she meant it exactly like that.
I didn't mean it that way. Yeah, that's not wrong. But yes, I know that I don't any longer look at why me. I just look at God, what do you want me to do with this pain? Because you've trusted me with it. What am I going to do with it? And I lost my Jewish family, as you know, when I became a Christian. Mm-hmm. I shared that in your first show, and now my entire Jewish family is born again. Mm-hmm. But it was a 10-year battle of no family, and everybody's saved. Cousins, uncles, everybody is born again through our whole family. And revival hit our Jewish family, but it was a 10-year battle. And so I've got to watch, a son in rebellion come back to the Lord, and got to see a marriage restored. And so, my mom, I didn't have a relationship with her growing up, and I loved her the most when she deserved it the least, and it was hard. And today she lives with me, and I take care of her in her older years. So I've watched how God does not waste pain. And my passion is, my message that I do at Crusades is dancing on the battlefield. That is my message, because those battles don't seem to be going away. And so I feel like if we don't have that eternal perspective on our lives, then we're going to be just tossed from here to there by circumstance. And I don't know about you, but I get to a point where I'm sick of being affected by everybody else and by my circumstance. And so at some point, you just have that breakthrough where you say, for better or for worse, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, with or without a husband, with or without the life I wanted. And the thing that God showed me now is the love, my life I wanted, everybody has a life they wanted or dreamed about, but the life I wanted means nothing compared to the legacy I'm going to leave when I'm gone for following Christ, for better, for worse. And so I'm generational driven, eternally driven, and now we just started up our Mother of Boys conferences, and we do conferences for divorced and single because...
And that's what your book is about.
Yeah, and the Bible study.
Yeah,
and I want to take the pressure off the pastors, too, because there's just so much hurt. And so, I kind of took a Bible study and book and talked about what no one wants to talk about.
If pastors wanted to get the material, they go to your website?
Well, if pastors want to get my material, I'll give them to them free because I love what they do for the body of Christ, and I wouldn't feel comfortable taking pastors' money.
What do you tell divorced people?
I say this, no matter where you stand, it says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, don't let the impossible ex-husband paralyze you from giving and receiving God's love. And I try to give them that perspective. Take the pain and do something with it. And I'm compassionate because I know that pain, and it's hard to push through pain when you're in it. It's just, oh, but it's harder to waste the pain. And so I think you just have to literally purpose yourself. God, I trust you in this pain. I don't know what you're going to do with it, God, but your will be done. Use it how you choose. You know, for me, I never thought I'd be in ministry at all. I never thought about, of course, being a dyslexic, I barely got out of high school with D's. I certainly never thought about being an author. And I, you know, even that, you know, I asked God to heal my learning disorder. And I'm one of the only best-selling authors that has written more books than I've ever read in my lifetime, you know. I just haven't, you
nobody
know, and I had an English teacher,
you wrote
as you know.
Them backwards. They knew you wrote them backwards.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Exactly. They're still anointed.
It's amazing to get to God. It's got to be God.
From before. I had an English teacher told me I was born to lose in life, you know.
Isn't that
I
something?
Mean, you could, but God has a bigger plan. And you don't put a period where he has a comma.
And you speak in chapter titles, you know, like I loved her the most when she deserved it the least. I mean, she just speaks chapter titles. It's just coming out. And then you build on them. You get a thought, and then you build a paragraph, and you build a, you know, a chapter. And then you build a book. And your heart's desire. And everybody has those. And, you know, interestingly, Sherry, you and I faced difficulties. You know a little bit about my past and my life, and of course Betty's had the difficulty of living with my life. And so, but the point
I'm
is
sorry.
that what did she say? She said, "I'm sorry." God bless her. Yeah, well, you know, thank you for praying for her. I've got a lot of people praying for her.
But I love you.
Yeah, I feel better already. This counseling really helps. You know what's really happened on my journey, and because God is so involved in my life with my pain or my challenges and Betty's pain and both of us together walking through it. You know, we lost our daughter right after Christmas. That's heavy.
Yes.
And I've asked the Lord to help me bind up other broken hearts as mine's bound up. Here's the thing that's occurred to me. It's just listening to you even, and people want to live their life out. And the Lord really has fulfilled our dreams. And it's just been amazing. And I've found myself being lost, and by being lost, meaning really found in this, being
true.
Really where I purposed to be. I want to see Jesus' dreams fulfilled.
Yes.
I want to see his heart's desire fulfilled. And I really believe his heart's desire is what his father's was, and that's to have a family that loved him as father and loved one another as family.
It's true.
Starting with marriage. So I'm praying for this healing to come, and I'm watching it, and it's wonderful, and you're having a part in it. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for helping us start life today. Thank you for walking out the pain, and bless God for what's happened with Jacob and your husband, who's no longer a pain. You're such a joy, and we want to thank you for that. Would you say thanks to Sherry for being such a blessing to us in life today? Telling her story, and it's in your heart's desire, your heart's desire. And I hope you'll get it. I hope you'll look there on the website. There it is. And see what can we use in our church or Bible study or our group to help people, because Sherry is gifted to do just that, and she's walked it out, and she knows. Sherry, we do something that our viewers love. Everything we do, our viewers love. They like to help people.
Yeah.
If it works, they want to do it. And giving water to the thirsty. Jesus said, a cup of water. Well, if you're thirsty, or if it's filthy, and you suddenly can have clean water, what a miracle. We can be a part of a miracle, a much-needed miracle. Watch.
The death of a child is the tragic result of having no choice but to drink contaminated water. Waterborne illness is a killer that knows no boundaries. Miriam lives in a shack in Central America. She had to watch her son die in her arms because the only water source she has is a contaminated river. On a windswept hill in Madagascar, small graves serve as a painful reminder to the grieving parents that had to give their children dirty water to drink. Pitch is a young mother from a small village in Cambodia. She knows the water she collects is filled with contaminants, but she has no other options. One of her children has already died, and the other is sick. Thousands of miles away in drought-stricken Angola, the rural hospitals cannot keep up with the number of children dying from waterborne diseases. Stories like these are all too common to thousands of families living in poverty around the world. They desperately need someone to share the gift of life with them, the gift of clean water.
Boy, that's a beautiful picture, that scene of that mother weeping with one child there with it, another one already gone, and knowing how much she'd like to have the baby back and how much she doesn't want to lose another. Betty and I losing Robin after Christmas, and some of you knew about her battle for life with cancer. I don't think there's a viewer of Life Today anywhere in the world that if you could have gotten to our daughter, that wouldn't have said, I've got the answer, and this will really work. And you think it wouldn't have made me and Betty happy and her children and her husband and the rest of her siblings? Well, believe me when I tell you, we have the perfect cure for what ails most of those children you just saw. And Betty, we went from country to country to country. And we are deliberately targeting, I mean purposely, 12 nations that the missionaries have pointed us to, situations like some of those you just saw, where they desperately need water. And we know it's there. In other words, it is accessible. It's not like, you know, false hope. All we need to do is put a well in, case it to keep it clean, give them a mechanical pump, and Betty, they've got the miracle we as parents hope for, the miracle those parents hope for, and that mother was hoping for that was holding that little child.
Absolutely, James. And you know, as I saw that mother sitting there with one baby in her arms and wiping the tears away from her face because she had lost one, I know what those tears feel like, the pain feels like. That mother is hurting because of the child she lost, but she doesn't want to lose the other child. This child can be saved if we will just get the water wells dug and the pure, clean water to them. It's a simple way, but it has to be done. She's done all she knows she can do. She still has to give her child that dirty water, contaminated water, because that's all they've got. But we can offer a choice, a difference for them. Won't you please help us do this?
Yeah, we can fulfill the hope and longing in her heart, and we can heal the hurt in the future. And I'm asking you to do it. I want you to just get up and move from wherever you are. Go online, lifetoday.org, or just go over to the telephone and get your purse or your wallet or whatever and get your bank card, or you can go get a checkbook. I would like you to do it now. And if you make a check, make it to Life. If you pick up the phone, call us and tell us what you're giving. And use your bank card like a check, or you can go to lifetoday.org and do it. But here's the thing. We are asking God, with your help, to be able to drill 500 wells this year, the most ever in a year, and in 12 countries. Some of you could drill one. I told you years ago, Betty and I committed, God, we want to drill one every time the call comes. Please help us. And boy, He has. And we've been able to do it, sometimes more, because we ask God to let us do it. So you may be able to do it. And if you can give a well, do it, or a portion of a well, 1,200 and three people join you, we've got a well. 2,400, just one person join you. $48. Yes, a gift of $48. 10 people water the rest of their life. 144, 30 people. We have some beautiful gifts to send you, but you are giving the greatest gift of all. You are giving people a chance at life. And we're going to tell them about the life of God to be found in Christ, the love that prompted the gift of the water. Water for life, we're going to tell you about the water of life. It's the water of life inspiring us to give you life. Would you please go to the phone right now or go online? Make the gift God put on your heart. We'll send some special gifts to you to bless you and to say thank you.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Majesty, an inspirational new fully illustrated book that will help you discover the promises behind the many names of God. With your gift of $100 or more, be sure to also request the Names of God pen set, custom crafted with the various names of God and the gifts of the Spirit. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Living Water. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
I have watched girl after girl walk up this trail and never stop once. And to think that you traveled this far for this water and it's so dirty. I would never drink this myself. We could completely change this for over 1,000 people in this very village if we can come in here and drill a well for them. Go online, make that call today. Help in any way that you can. Let's bring them water for life.
You're going to love these beautiful, as I call them, witness pens. I promise you they'll be conversation pieces, and they have the fruit of the Spirit, which I hope you walk in, pray you do, and then the names of God. And here is Sherry Rose Shepherd's book, Your Heart's Desire. I want to remind you again, there's her website. The book is awesome. It will take you through a journey of love and hope and help. And you might want to access some of her other material. Find out where she's going to be speaking. Get her to come speak in your area. Would you join Betty and me in saying thanks to Sherry? Thank you, Sherry. We love you, Sherry, very, very much. We really do. We love you. Thank you. Thank you so much for helping us share life and give water. Thank you.
Tomorrow, International Bible teacher Beth Moore reveals how a lack of trust in God comes not only from unbelief, but spiritual laziness. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.